Good morning.
Good morning.
It's sure good to be among you and to see your smiling faces and getting ready to look at these things in God's Word. Before I start, though, I bring greetings from the church in Goroka, the church in Barihakwa, the church at 8 Mile, the church at 14 Mile, and the church of Corn Farm, the church at Koki, DTM students, and Joseph and Eileen. That's the people who host us when we get to Papua New Guinea. So, where's Sandy? Yeah, just a second. One of the things we tried to teach this time, and you'll see how we do it here in a minute, one of the things we tried to teach this time is that when we look, for instance, at the book of Ephesians, you know, imagine a letter comes from Paul to the church at Ephesus, and they're all excited, and this Sunday we're going to read chapter 1. And next Sunday, we're going to read chapter 2, right? That's how we do it, isn't it? We couldn't wait to hear the whole thing because there's something special about the whole letter that we really miss if we don't see it all at once. So we suggest that books that you begin to study, read the whole thing first. Read the whole thing first. And that's different, isn't it? And it's something that we ought to practice, I think. There are some examples of that even in the scriptures. But anyway, I want to look at some things in chapter 4, and that'll finish our time in this for this sermon. In the congregation of Ephesus, there were Christians who were formerly Gentiles. There were also Christians who were formerly Jewish people. So these two groups did not get along together too well. So he's talking about the peace that would be between these two groups of people in the church, that they all be one and serve the one Lord and Master in their work. And in order to accomplish that, in verse 11, he says, he gave some as apostles. I guess we don't have living apostles on earth today, do we? The apostles were people who had seen. They gave witness to what they had seen. And they had to have been with Jesus in order to say, well, we touched him. We heard him, we smelled him, we were with him so closely that we are capable to present Jesus to you. And to make it just right, God gave them the Spirit that will remind them of all the things that happened to Jesus. And that makes them really, really special. And then he says some as prophets. Prophets are people who have God's words in their mouth. A one-word definition for prophet is mouth. They speak what God had said. Like Moses spoke to Aaron what God had told Aaron when they went to see Pharaoh. So Aaron became the prophet for Moses. He spoke for Moses. Moses thought he wasn't eloquent. He sure eloquently told us about that, didn't he? Then he said, and some as evangelists, having been an evangelist most all of my life, I feel very close to what he's telling evangelists to do. It is a good thing to share the gospel with someone who doesn't know it. And that's what an evangelist does. He finds those who don't know the gospel yet, need to know Jesus. Funny thing about that is that in our building, even now, most of us are already Christians, aren't we? So this is not the place to evangelize. The place to evangelize is outside this building. So think of the work of an evangelist is mainly outside, not inside. Give us an idea of what that is about. And then he said, and some are pastors. Those are the shepherds who make sure that none of us gets lost. The shepherd is one who will go and find the sheep that is lost. Sheep are not vicious animals. I mean, sheep don't go around attacking dogs, nothing like that. Sheep is not, they don't even think about wandering away. They just have their head down and they eat. They just eat and eat and eat and eat. And all of a sudden they raise their head and they say, where am I? Because they don't know. That's where the shepherd needs to be to find the sheep. And that's what shepherds do. They take care of the flock. That's you and me. And then the teachers, we really do need the teachers. I mean, we really need to have Bible classes because that's how we unite in our thinking, in our hearts, and in our belief, is that we are united in what we understand the scriptures say, because we have been taught together, haven't we? I mean, we don't go just to a house to study the Bible. We come and meet together and study. And he says in verse 12, Ephesians 4:12, they do that for the equipping of the saints for the work of service. That's why they do it. They equip the workers. They equip us where we don't know, or they equip us where we are short in understanding or not in our abilities, so we can do our service to praise the Lord. And that's what he says, builds up the body of Christ. That's how we as a congregation grow. That's how our membership increases. I guess we could always hire a preacher. No, it doesn't work that way. It really doesn't work that way. We all are involved. He says, until all of us come together in a unit and we are mature and we fill up the fullness of Christ. I like the thing that he says in 15 and 16. I want to mention that and look at it a little closer. Verse 15, speak the truth in love. We are to grow up in all aspects unto him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part. And he said that causes growth. It's really easily demonstrated or illustrated when we consider how our body functions. I could have a very talented right hand, but if this part of my arm doesn't function and the strength and the blood doesn't reach the hand, no matter how excited the hand gets, it'll die. It's like that in the body of Christ. It's like that in our congregation. We are interdependent with one another. We can't function without that connection. We are one body together. If we thought we could stay at home and worship God on our own, we're mistaken, and we'll die. We'll die. On the other hand, in order for the church to be, or the congregation to be strong and to grow, we need to be connected with one another. So think in your heart. Think of who you are connected to. Think of the brother or the sister, or brothers or sisters. Think of them. What are you to them, and what are they to you? How does our relationship work? How do we function together? We need to function together. Without that connectedness, we can't function as a congregation. Especially in large congregations, it's often true that people like to come and attend and not be noticed. You know, they come in 10 seconds late and sit someplace in the back. I don't mean you guys back there. You've been here for a while. But they'll come in late and sit someplace where they're not noticed, and they are disappearing before the last prayer is said. They're not part of the congregation. They might as well just get the tape that they record of the sermon that day and listen to it at home. But the fellowship is not there. The fellowship needs to be here. We need to be together and function. And he says, that's how the body grows. That's how the body grows. We don't grow any other way. So I want you to think about your participation, your heart. What are you doing? Who are you connected to? Who do you think about in your prayers? Who do you go see when they're not feeling well? Or who do you go see when you notice that they're not in the assembly? Who do we visit? We do need to do those things. Really, we do need to do those things. If we thought we can get by with less than that, we're really mistaken. And we're really against the picture that we have of the body of Jesus as Paul teaches it right in Ephesians chapter 4. We do need to be connected. We do need to know one another. We do need to take care of one another. Where is your brother? Where is your sister today? It is often true that people who have been baptized and been members of the congregation are outside this assembly are more numerous than the ones who are here. That's sad. I mean, that's really sad. That's something that breaks our heart when we think about it. It's just like when you look at your family and for breakfast, one of your children is not there. Maybe they had a good reason, but then lunch comes and they're not there. And dinner comes and they're not there. Then we get really panicky. I mean, we get really anxious to find where they are. What's happening to them? Are they well? Are they in trouble? That's how we think of each other in this congregation. That's how we can tell whether this congregation is really connected with one another. Really connected with one another. And I do encourage you to do that and to be part of that. And my time is kind of up, but I do want you to think about that. Are you connected to other Christians? Are we part of one another? If not, make things right. And there's no better time than right now. Let's stand and sing.